Welcome to Waking Up Radio with Jean Catherine Gray. Join Jean Catherine to explore the neuroscience of awareness and what that means for you and your life.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Waking Up, the neuroscience of awareness. My name is Jean Catherine Gray, and today we have a wonderful guest on. I know I love my guests. I know you guys all know that. So when you listen to the show, I'm sure you hear that the people I have on are people I really enjoy hearing from and talking to. And Sandy Krott is not any exception to that rule. She is really a wonderful presence to hang out with and to hear from. And in particular, because she does something really unique in the field of, let's say, three principles, health revitalization, but let's say even more so, something unique in the field of business. And so I think it's very important for people to have opportunity to hear how your thinking, how your well-being, how your clarity of mind, how those things can be helpful and useful to you, even when you're somebody who's, let's say, highly functional, which I think is sort of a funny term. But before I say hello to Sandy, which I'm very excited to do, I just want to make sure that if you didn't have a chance to listen last week, Jen Lucas interviewed Dickon Bettinger, is also a wonderful person to listen to. They talked about the evolution of psychology, and I was unavailable to do the call. I was very sorry not to be there. And so I listened on the way back from my trip where I was driving down the East Coast, and it is well worth the listen. I highly recommend it, especially if you are a therapist, a social worker, somebody working in the field of mental health. I think you'll find Dickon's discussion really quite helpful and fascinating. So go back and take a listen to Dickon Bettinger, Evolution of Psychology, at Contact Talk Radio. So, Sandy, welcome.
Thank you, Jean Catherine. Great to be here.
I'm glad that you could make the time in this summer. It is very hot here. I don't know what the weather's like there.
Well, you know, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and it's usually delightfully cool here in the summertime. People are envious of our 80 degree tops weather and 50 at night.
Wow!
But yesterday, oh my word! Yesterday we it was 95 in my yard.
That's so shocking.
And yeah, and people don't have air conditioning here, so it's it was uncomfortable. But today it's back to normal. So
see, now I'm
thank
jealous.
Goodness.
Now I am jealous. This is definitely not cool here in Virginia. So tell me, one of the reasons we scheduled this today is because you have a book coming out.
Yes.
Which is written with, really, I understand it, sort of the business owner, the CEO, the person who's kind of breaking out on their own with their business. I have a sense it's sort of written for those people.
Correct.
Who, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell me, what's the name of the book?
The book is called Invisible Power. Mm-hmm. And then below that title is Insight Principles at Work, Everyone's Hidden Inner Capacity.
Wow. Okay.
And
I really like the invisible power piece.
Yes.
I feel right away like a superhero when you say that.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're all undercover superheroes. We just don't realize it. We really don't realize the power of our mind. And that's primarily what the book is about. We were coming up with titles for the book. This one just, it just almost came to the three of us. I have two co-authors, Ken Manning and Robin Charbit. And there, when we were looking for a title, this title just popped into all three of our heads because it so represented what we were trying to convey in the book.
Beautiful. So this title pops into your head, and then where does it take you?
Well, you know, interestingly, we did not set out to write a book. We're practitioners. We are business consultants, but we would consistently get asked by our clients, "Do you have any written material?" and we would give every person who took one of our programs, we would hand them a copy of Sydney Banks's The Missing Link, which our clients loved. But for those of you who've read Sydney Banks's Missing Link, it's a lovely, amazing, simple, beautiful, short book. But it has nothing, there's nothing in there about business. There's nothing specific to business challenges. And so they would, you know, well, do you have anything specific to our business challenges? So we put together something we called the Program Learning Guide, which was a, I don't know, 10, 15 page paper, which we kept adding to. And we put diagrams in it. And we did a lot of different things. And then finally a client said, well, you guys should write a book. So we thought, yeah, we should. And
I think the best ideas come from clients, don't you?
Yes, I know. So initially, the book was really just going to be like a manual to go along with our programs. We hadn't really thought about writing for the general public. But then as we were writing and we realized how much time it was going to take us to do this, we thought, well, gee, we really should write this book to the person as if they'd never heard anything about the principles of that Sydney Banks uncovered or anything about the work we did. That's what we decided to do. We just started from scratch so that anyone can pick this book up regardless of their background. It is specifically targeted to the business person. I would even say the leader or the manager, somebody who's responsible for others in the workplace, but not, it's also for the individual contributor. But I do think that people who aren't business people would find the book interesting as well. So we really tried, as we were writing, you know, when you write, you want to have your reader always in mind. It's almost you're talking to your reader. And so we tried to keep in mind, what would it be like to pick this book up at Barnes & Noble or in the airport read something, and the person had no familiarity. So it was fun. It was a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, what is it when you're working with these business leaders or managers or people in these positions where they have to make decisions, they're in charge of other people's, you know, work lives.
Yeah.
You know, what is it that they're up against? What are the kinds of problems they run into that they come to you and say, I need help with this?
Well, they always think they're up against something, I'm going to say, out there in the world. That's what everybody thinks. I'm up against deadlines. I'm up against unreasonable bosses. I'm up against the economy. I'm up against schedules, and I'm up against time pressure. I'm up against balancing my work family life. I mean, there's a litany of things that people are up against. I'm up against the fact that innovation is not only a good thing, it's a requirement today because the world is changing so fast. So So everybody thinks they're up against all of these things, but what we try to tell them and what the book is about is you're always up against one and only one thing, and that is your own thinking. It's our own thinking that determines how we are experiencing a challenge, or if we're even experiencing it as a challenge.
Well, let's slow it down a little bit. Would that be okay, Sandy?
Yeah, yes.
Because I am a business owner, and I am the founder of my organization. I have associates. I make decisions. You know, I'm kind of your client in some sense. And one of the things that if I didn't know anything about what you're talking about, it would look to me like I'm up against time. That's where I would go. Yeah. I'd be like, ooh, you know, I can relate to that. I've got two kids. I'm a full-time parent. You know, I've got a full-time business. I'm in school and graduate school, all of which I love. And then in the middle of all that, I'm thinking like, okay, got to go hit the gym, the pool, get a bike in, you know, like make a nice meal.
right.
And you know, if I, you know, picked up any of that for too long, I could feel some stress.
Yeah.
So, help me out.
Yeah. And I know, and I'm not saying there aren't 24 hours in the day.
Right.
I'm not saying that you don't have responsibilities for your children and your family. And I'm not saying you don't have a lot to do or homework or, you know, those are all real things. They're not figments of your imagination. But what you want to see is that those things cannot make you feel a certain way. Those things cannot make you feel stress. Only your thinking can do that. And that's a very powerful thing to realize, because it sure looks like, and to me too, that my stress, particularly stress, we don't generally think about our pleasant, positive feelings, but those too, your family cannot create those either in you. Only your thinking can do that. And when you see that, insightfully see that, when you realize that, and you're in a stressful moment, rather than thinking that it's coming at you from the circumstances, you pause and you realize, wait a minute, where is this stressful feeling really coming from? And you see in the moment that how you're thinking about it, what you're thinking. And then when you kind of see that for yourself, you get a chance to question it. You get a chance to go, wait a minute, is that it? Is that all there is? Is that the only way to think about it?
I had an opportunity to see that at work this past weekend. I went north to Boston. And while I was there for graduate school, I also stopped in and saw my apprentice in Connecticut. And she had put together a meetup group, which I had never thought of doing. I thought it was really creative. Mm-hmm. She put together a meetup group on mental health education, and some people showed up. And she asked me to come. So I came and met with them. And one of the guys there, after listening to us talk about sort of what is this, how is it different, what's helpful about this, he had a little bit of an insight. And he said, you know, my job, it was just a little insight, but it was kind of fascinating to listen to. He said, my job is so stressful, it's so awful. And then I go home at night and I complain about how stressful and awful it is. And then I go away for the weekend and I complain about it. And every group I go to, I complain about it. And he said, he just occurred to him, like, he didn't have to do that. You know, like, he didn't kind of get that the stress was from within him. He didn't see that. But he saw that he was perpetuating the anxiety and the stress after the work was over and over the weekend. And so just that much, I was thinking, wow, he's going to go home and he's going to see himself doing that again. And he's going to kind of be on to himself. Like, wow, it's not really where I want to go or what I want to do.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
And that's an absolute piece of it. Because when we believe that the stress is coming from the circumstances, the responsibility, the workload, then it's logical to complain about it.
Right.
You know, well, I mean, it just makes sense. What else would you do?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, complaining is a bit of a stress reliever. It's a coping strategy for people who feel stress. Because once you complain, you feel a tad bit better. So that's why people complain. It's like the bucket under the leaky roof, or releasing the steam from a radiator. It does relieve the pressure a little bit, but it doesn't do anything about the myth or the misunderstanding of where that stress is coming from. So you never get out from under it. But when you finally realize, wait a minute, who am I blaming here? I remember talking to an executive once. In fact, this little vignette is in the book. He said to me, you know, I have no time. I have no time for anything. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, well, why don't you work 20 hours a day? And he looked at me like, you know, I had two heads. And he said, what do you mean work 20 hours a day? I can't work 20 hours a day. I said, why not? He said, well, that's unreasonable. And I said, well, who decides what's reasonable and what's unreasonable? And he said, well, I guess, I mean, he was like flustered. He said, well, I guess I do. But it doesn't feel like I'm deciding. You see, it never feels like we're deciding because we give so much power over to the circumstances. So we feel like we're being imposed upon.
Yeah, it's a beautiful example. I had a client once who had her own business. She was self-employed. She didn't employ anyone else. And she came in because she wanted to work on her financial picture. And so I was helping her with that through an understanding of how mind works and how thought works and how consciousness works. And she came back 6 months later and was a little bit caught up and stressed out. And that's why she came back to see me. And I said, what's going on? Actually, I think it was like 9 months later. But I said, what's going on? And she said, well, you know, the plan we made worked really well for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. And then the last 2 months, it hasn't worked. And I said, and I was sort of fascinated by that because the plan that she was talking about was a plan she had put into effect, right? She had made some decisions about where she wanted to put her money and how much where and that kind of logistical things. We all have to decide about money. You know, how much do I want to save? How much do I want to spend? How much do I want to, you know, live on? What are the things that are important to me? Just financial decisions. But now she was 2 months into holding herself responsible for her decisions as if she wasn't the one who made them.
Yes.
And that was fascinating to me. I was like, wow, who designed this plan? Like, you know, and she said, well, I did, just like you said. It's like, well, I designed the plan. I was like, would you like to change it? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great example. Oh.
It is. And we just forget, don't realize, give up this amazing power that is within the human mind that is so it's who we are. I hesitate to even say accessible. It's as if we have to do something to get it. We don't do anything. It's there. It's there. It's sitting there in its potential state all the time. But we have to start realizing that it's there, and we have to start realizing that we have given it up because of a misunderstanding that's just rampant in our culture and all the cultures of the world, that somehow the external factors can make us feel something or make us experience something without our thinking being involved.
I'd love to add here just that one of the pieces about how our brains work, just the biology of our brain that supports what Sandy's saying, is just our brain is designed to, when we're having an experience and it sets off this cascade of chemicals in the brain, things that happen at the same time naturally wire together. So, for example, this is one I like a lot. A woman in California admitted that she was going to the bathroom while the earthquake happened and she had just flushed the toilet. And so she felt like, you know, for months afterwards that she couldn't flush a toilet because she was afraid she'd caused the earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's no way that her flushing a toilet caused the earthquake. But because it happened at the same time, in her brain, it just was together. It was wired together. And I think it's important for people to realize that that's the functionality of our human form, is it naturally does that. So, you know, if you have a certain emotion in the presence of somebody, you know, say a colleague or a boss or, you know, an ex-husband, whatever it is, it's like, you know, if you have that emotion, even one time, it'll wire together with the event. And then you'll keep remembering it as if it's connected, even though there is no connection at all beyond the fact that we experience it.
Right.
It
our brain is such a miraculous thing, but and there are certain things like you said that it does to keep us alive, to keep us in to help us evolve. But there is also the power behind the brain.
Yes.
The power source behind the brain. And this is really what we're pointing to.
And that's a really important distinction. One time I was actually at a business thing for a college where they wanted me to train their groups. And during the training, one of the women came up during the break and she said, you know, I'm a biologist, and I don't know if I can buy into what you're talking about, this, you know, energy source and thought and consciousness. And I said, oh, really? I said, wow, well, I don't know anything about biology. I mean, really, at that time, I knew nothing, and now I probably know a little less than nothing, which is pretty much nothing compared to a biologist. And I said, so I haven't talked about the brain at all, really.
She said,
well, what are you talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes listeners on the radio are thinking that too. Well, what mm-hmm. are you talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I said, well, I'm talking about what happens before you start mapping all those neurons and impulses and whatever else you call that stuff. And she said, oh. And I said, do you know what happens before that? And she said, no, it's a mystery. And I said, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Right? We're trying to define the mystery, or we're trying to at least point people toward the mystery. Yeah.
Now, how is that helpful to a business owner? Because some business owners are hearing this and they're like, a little airy fairy for me. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Business owners, what I love about business owners is they're inherently practical if they have if they have any kind of quality of business.
That's right. It's true. But they're also
helpful about that.
They're also human.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget that. And you sit in front of this group of very, very buttoned up executives, very, very extremely bright, extremely capable, competent executives. And that can be a little intimidating, but you have to remember they are human beings and they function exactly the way we do. And they are, they have the same questions. And they're enamored of the same mystery when they let themselves be. So we kind of have to walk a fine line with them, letting them dip their toe into this world where we can't really explain it. It's before form. And then we have to balance that with, okay, well, here's the so what of that in your day-to-day business life. And as long as we keep that balance, they're very much intrigued by it and they ultimately are enriched by it.
It sounds really lovely. I mean, so one of the things that you've been talking about is that business owners feel like they're up against something. Right? They feel like they're up against something, and there's 100,000 different things people might feel like they're up against. And then you come in and you teach them something about their human nature, about the power behind the system,
right?
Something about that. And they begin to see something differently than they've seen it before.
Right.
They begin to see their life experience differently. They begin to see sort of what they're up against differently.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So here they are in that conversation with you. What is it that's looking different to them?
Well, we run our programs in exactly the same way as we wrote the book. Or I should say we wrote the book exactly the same way we run our programs. We take a good amount of time just talking about how the mind works before we even reach their business challenges. So, and we urge them not to even think about their business challenges. We urge them, in the book it will say that, just take your time and let this sink in before we'll get to the business challenges. And for the people that will do that, and most of them do, just listen and begin to have their own insights about how their minds work. Then we tackle a business issue. And what's interesting is they remark at how calm they are, how slowed down they feel, how much better they're listening to one another. Now, nothing's changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. Their business is exactly the same. Their challenges are exactly the same. But something's happened within, and it's remarkable to them. And then they go, well, what did you do to us? You know, no, we didn't do anything. You're seeing the power of your mind. So that's the first thing. The second thing that happens is things that look like they were written in stone suddenly become question marks. So people get curious, very curious about so-called facts. Do you need to break here?
Yes. You're okay. Listening to Waking Up, the Neuroscience of Awareness. My name is Jean Catherine Gray. We're talking with Sandy Krah. We're having a wonderful conversation about business and what's called the three principles understanding. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the mind works and the so what of that, as Sandy said earlier. The so what of that. I love that. So we'll be right back after this break.
Did you know that you can rate our shows on iTunes? Yep, you can share your thoughts about the topics, the hosts, and the special guests. You can also leave a suggestion. Then, when you're done, rate the show. The hosts love your feedback, and others appreciate it. So next time you download a show, take a second to leave your thoughts and rate it.
Do you know what it takes to build a three principles practice? Whatever you think you're missing, there's only one thing you really need. Listen, an Advanced Principles Weekend with Jack Pransky. Whether you want to deepen your ability to listen for yourself or for your clients, this three-day intensive with Jack Pransky is for you. Discover the simplicity of listening and the impact listening has on your understanding, skills, and business. Increase your effectiveness as a practitioner. Develop your compassion and uncover the secret to a healthy three principles business. Join Jack Pransky and Divine Play Associates August 8th through the 10th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Charlottesville, Virginia. The last three workshops sold out. Don't miss this small group opportunity for three principal practitioners. For more information, call Jean at 434-218-9500. Go to divineplay.com to register.
Welcome back. You're listening to Waking Up, the Neuroscience of Awareness. My name is Jean Catherine Gray, and today we're speaking with Sandy Krah of InsightPrinciples.com. Sandy has a new book coming out called Invisible Power, right?
Right. Invisible Power, Insight Principles in Business, yes.
Good. And I know that if you've been listening, you're already intrigued and want to pick up the book. Sandy, let people know right now who they should email to be on the list for the first releases.
Okay. My co-authors and I, Ken Manning and Robin Charbit, had really hoped that the book would be out by now. But just when you think you've written the book and it's done, the bulk of it's done, then there's a million details that have to get taken care of. And we're very, very close. So if you would email us at info@insightprinciples.com to say, please put me on the mailing list for the book announcement, and you will get an email from us the moment the book is available
on Amazon. Sounds great. And I will also let people know that from the DivinePlay.com site. So if you aren't already signed up for DivinePlay.com, feel free to do that, and we will put it into our newsletter that it's available for people. So just before we went to break, we were talking about what the work you do when you teach business owners, managers, independent participants of employees, I imagine, in some extent. When you're teaching a business, an organization, how the mind works and sort of what the outcome is of that, or one of the things you were talking about is that as people have this conversation, they begin to see something different about what they thought of as the facts.
Right.
Can you tell us more about that? That sounds intriguing.
Yes. As I said, people come into business meetings with a lot of thinking, a lot of preconceived notions. Some, don't get me wrong, some of them are based on years of experience and knowledge of their product, et cetera. And they're all very good. But a certain amount of that thinking is very limiting. When people's mind, when you begin to see how the mind works, and you begin to see this enormous potential for new thinking that is sitting there in the back of our minds, when you have a deep respect for it, what happens is you look at the so-called facts or the so-called limitations, and rather than taking them at face value, you become curious. That's the word that clients use all the time. And you can see it in the business meetings. They become curious. Somebody will say, "Well, that can't happen," and another person will say, "Well, really? Let's look at. Let's be sure. Let's sit for a moment and see if anything new comes to us." And so it's remarkable what happens. People come up with ideas about situations that looked like they were immovable. Now, to some degree, people do this when they brainstorm, you know, when you get together and you just let the ideas fly. Mm-hmm. And it is very valuable to do that with a group, to just sit and just let's just be ridiculous and just throw ideas out, and you see what can come of that. But we're talking about something that becomes more of a lifestyle rather than an exercise that you do from time to time. And you just live with a lot of curiosity, a little bit like kids do, you know, when kids are, you know, 4, 5, 6, and their favorite question is why. And, you know, parents sometimes struggle to answer the why questions because there are certain things that they know they do that have no good reason. It's because. Well, businesses are like that too. You know, nobody asks why. Well, it's always been done that way. But when you open your mind up, which is exactly what happens when you begin to understand how your mind works, you start asking the why question a lot more, and new ideas start to flow. So it's very exciting to see. So it becomes very practical for businesses. That's what they love. They love two things. They love the logic of how the mind works. The logic of the fact that the mind can only work one way from the inside out, that you will always feel your thinking, that it's a paradigm, if you will, that never changes. The logic of that, it appeals to business people in the simplicity of it. And then when they start and begin to recognize that there is actually a wisdom in this logic, that there is a design to the human mind that is intelligent and creative and extraordinary. So you begin to see the wisdom and the logic. Then they start looking at the results. Then it's game over. They just want to know more.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the mind works?
Well, the mind is governed by three principles. And when I use the word principle, I use it very specifically. A principle in scientific terms is something that is always true. It's predictive and explanatory and constant. Okay, so the principle of gravity would be an example. No one invented it. It was there before anyone realized that gravity was a principle, and it always works the same way. And it works whether you know it or not. You cannot know gravity and still fall off a roof. The principles that govern the mind are the same kind of principles. They're true. They're basic. They're constant. And the principles are the principle of mind, the principle of thought, and the principle of consciousness. The principle of thought is the pointing to the fact that there is a capacity within the human mind that you're born with that allows you to take the formless energy that is life and make a form out of it. It allows you to think. It allows you to create ideas in your head. And this capacity is what's behind your ability to experience anything. Before you experience something, you have to have a thought about it. And that thought is coming from this formless principle that governs your mind. And you came into the world with this principle, this capacity. The principle of consciousness is simply the principle of awareness, that you were born aware. And what are you aware of? Well, you're aware of whatever you think. So the principle of consciousness and the principle of thought work together to bring you your experience. This is happening all the time. You can't stop it. You have no control over it, really. Your mind produces thought, and you're going to be aware of it, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. The principle of mind is this, and this is the biggest mystery and the harder one to talk about, but it essentially is pointing to the power source behind our capacity for thought and our capacity for consciousness. It's the life force, if you will. It's the formless energy of life. And it's an intelligent energy, an energy that has within it all that we need to live a life that is productive and harmonious and wise. So you put those three principles together and you get, you can have an experience. And how the mind works is that experience you're having, that feeling you're having, that sensory data you're living in, is all coming from within your mind. It's those principles working within your mind to bring you that experience. It looks like it's coming from external circumstances. It looks like it's the weather, it's the traffic, it's the boss. But when you look a little deeper, you'll see that in order to have that experience, something had to happen within your own mind. And whatever that something is determines your experience. That's going on all the time, whether we know it or not. But when you do know it, when you see it, when you realize it, when you wake up to it, rather than jumping on the train that you're thinking is taking you and riding that train for, you know, minutes, days, hours, years, for some people, you can realize you're on the train, and you can actually get off the train. You can actually see in the moment the possibility that for thinking something else. And when you see that possibility, guess what? It shows up. And a new thought comes to mind. You don't make it happen. It's in the capacity of your mind to continue to think, like a river continues to flow. And all you have to do is, in essence, get out of the way. And a new thought will show up, and you're onto a new experience. So it's an extremely valuable, profound realization for humanity. Doesn't mean you're never going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen to you. They will. Life is a contact sport, as they say. But your capacity to live in well-being under any circumstances is enhanced with this understanding.
It's funny because it sounds so much to me like kind of like gardening. I mean, I know you can use lots of different metaphors.
Lots of metaphors, yeah.
Yeah, surfing or, but there's this piece that sometimes people miss, or it's hard sometimes to convey, where it's not in their hands. And I can imagine for somebody who's used to sort of getting things done and making things happen, that the next step for a lot of people would be like, okay, so how do I sort of get the best case scenario here?
Yeah.
Do you see that when you're working?
Yes. I mean, it's a real paradox that you're pointing out. It's a beautiful paradox, because on the one hand, people hear us say, well, you mean it's all my fault? And they get a little backed up about it. And then they'll say, well, oh no, it's not my fault, but it's, in a way, it's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now that's a little paradoxical for people. But then there's the piece. Well, okay, all right, it's my responsibility. Okay, all right. So they get all puffed up and, full of willpower that they're going to somehow have a great life or make it happen. And then we say to them, well, you know, actually, there is a deep resource within you that's not in your control, but you get to benefit from it. So you can relax a bit. You don't have to do it. It knows what to do. Like you plant a seed and it knows how to grow into a plant. So there's both pieces here, this willingness to take personal responsibility, if you will, for the experience you're having, because it is coming from within your mind, but then also to respect and appreciate this power that lives within us that we are not in charge of, but we can wholly benefit from. People know this. Every business person I have ever spoken to, every person I've ever spoken to can give you an example of something coming to their mind virtually out of nowhere, or a moment when they just knew what to do and they didn't know why they knew what to do. Everybody has these experiences. So there's got to be an explanation for it.
You're listening to Waking Up, the Neuroscience of Awareness. We're talking with Sandy Krott today from Insight.
Insight from Principles.
Sorry, this always happens when I talk to somebody like you, Sandy, is my brain goes a little mush and I feel very relaxed. So insightprinciples.com. And we've been having a really wonderful conversation. If you're just tuning in now, definitely go back and take a listen. We've been talking about, business owners, how the mind works, how you may imagine yourself as up against your external experience. But then when you see something about how your mind works and you see the power and the potential behind it, you can gain a lot of relief and a lot of curiosity and ease, which can help you sail even the most difficult waters. And Sandy has a book coming out. So tell us again just a little bit more about that book. How do you wrap this kind of conversation up?
Well, the book is in four parts. And the first part of the book, by the way, is called Invisible Power, Insight Principles in Business. I co-wrote with Ken Manning and Robin Charbit. It's in four parts. The first part, is, we call it the core, and it really we take our time explaining what we mean by how the mind works, and we break it down and as simply as we can. And we talk about the power of understanding that this is not something you intellectualize. It's something that has to well up inside of you, and you have to see for yourself. You can't take our word for it. And then we move from the core into what we call implications. So every principle has an implication. The principle of gravity, implication is that if you let go of a pen, it's going to fall to the ground. That's just the way, that's just an outcome that's predictable. Well, there are implications to how the mind works, and we go over them in the book. And then we talk about personal implications. So the first group is more generalized implications. And then we talk about the personal implications. What does it mean for you if you understand how your mind works? What's going to change? What's going to look different? And then the fourth part is interpersonal implications. So what about these relationships with others, the people I lead or the people I have to team up with? And we talk about teamwork and synergy. And then we spend a short section at the end just sort of sharing our vision for what a world would look like if these principles were commonplace.
Well, what would the world look like?
Well, in our minds, the world would be peaceful. It would be we'd work out our differences through dialogue. We would be able to be open to the widest range of creative thought imaginable. So for the problems that have looked insurmountable for generation after generation after generation, people would begin to see there are actually solutions to them. So it would be a wonderful world. and our vision, the vision of our company, Insight Principles, our vision is that this understanding is commonplace in business, so that businesses would be run with this understanding in mind. Now, that doesn't mean we would stop making money or we'd stop producing goods and we'd all sit around with our feet up and contemplating the oneness of life. That's not what happens to businesses we work with. They remain incredibly engaged and creative and excited. That just the stress comes out of their world.
Well, that's actually where I wanted to go next. Was I definitely experienced that as a business owner. I've been a business owner all my life, essentially. My father was a business owner. I kind of got it from him. I've always had different businesses. And since opening Divine Play and working within the Three Principles community and understanding, I have found owning a business to be the simplest, smoothest, most relaxed experience with, I mean, incredible amount of work. I mean, there's no joke that businesses take work, but not to the detriment of my health or my family's well-being in any way. And so to me, in my experience of understanding how the mind works, this has been infinitely practical. It's been very action-orientated, like something about clear thinking means that I move into action a lot more quickly, a lot more smoothly, with a lot less bumps. So I guess the next question for our listeners is just what kinds of results do you see? What are the tangible, so people feel better, they are thinking clearer, what happens in the businesses you work with?
Well, they often come up with creative solutions to problems that have been around for a long time. One example in the book is a high-tech company that had a very, very sophisticated product, which they kept trying to innovate. But any time they innovated, it would take them nearly a year to, like 11 months, to introduce any innovation. And we just simply asked the question, why is it taking so long? And they had a million reasons why. Oh, it's hard, it's just complicated, blah, 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 blah. Well, we shared this understanding with them. We did the first couple of days, and then they got together, and they started to look and realize they had just put up a lot of roadblocks And again, some of those facts that they thought were facts just dissolved in front of them. And they go, why is that a fact? That's not necessary. Why can't we do it this way? And they came up with all kinds of ideas. And they reduced their the time from when they came up with an idea to like a couple of months. They went from 11 months to 1 month. It was amazing what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's millions of dollars involved in shortening the turnaround like that. And, you know, other companies have just had two departments that needed to work together because of the way the business ran. They were part of a sequential system. So one group A had to hand off to group B, and it had to be done in a very harmonious way. Well, group one and group two, or group A and group B, didn't get along. It's ridiculous. And so there was this big clog in the system, and they were one pointing to the other, and you know, the leaders had a million excuses, and we put them all together and taught them this understanding. And before the 4 days were up, they were so tight, they actually came up with a logo for the two groups. They had a little motto and a logo. So now these groups are handing off smoothly, and this clog in the system is completely disappeared. Mm. So it's really, I'm consistently amazed at how inefficient business can be because of these misunderstandings. It's just shocking.
Well, and the ability to invest in the human resource.
Yes.
To clarify these issues and to help people understand how this, I hate the analogy of a computer, but let's just say how this system works, how the computer works. Companies will invest so much money in these other systems.
Yes.
In technology that won't last as long as your human resource will last.
Right.
And then here you are, you know, investing in your human resource and seeing really amazing turnaround times. I mean, 4 days is an amazing turnaround time for two groups who have not gotten along.
It is. But that's what happens when you see how your mind works. It's just your conflict with one another dissolves, or it looks easily worked out.
Mm. So tell people again, invisible power.
Invisible power, insight principles in business. Everyone's hidden inner capacity. Ken Manning, Robin Charbit, and myself, Sandra Crott. The book should be out within weeks. And you email info@insightprinciples.com and ask to get on the mailing list, and you will get an announcement the second the book is available.
Well, I hope you're going to add me to your list, Sandy, so I can buy 25 copies of the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very much looking forward to it. I'm so glad that there is a book like this coming out. I think it sounds like it's very well put together. I encourage people to get on the list and make sure you get your first copy as soon as it's available. And I just want to share with everybody that this really is the insightprinciples.com. What Sandy and Robin and Ken are all doing over there is really worth investigation. So I hope you'll consider looking deeper into it and sharing it with your organization, with your colleagues, and having a deeper conversation about your human resource, what the potential is that you may not have seen before. So Sandy, I want to thank you so much for coming today. Thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Jean Catherine, really. You ask great questions, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you so much. Everybody have a wonderful day. I hope you have a wonderful time enjoying the responsibility of your creation. We're going to sign off now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Waking Up Radio with Jean Catherine Gray. Heartwarming, fearless conversations, transforming human insecurities into healthier and happier lives. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. UK. Want to connect with Jean directly? Visit JeanKatherine.com. That's Jean, J-E-A-N-N-E, Catherine with a C, .com.